Hey, how are we?
Fired up also. We can do it. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's get going. Hey, I missed you last week. I mean, I really did. I think I might be codependent on you. Let me start going to Celebrate Recovery. I was speaking down in Waco last week, and I was sitting there on Sunday morning about to take the stage, and really my mind was kind of here and what was going on here and how here was. So I think we have a unhealthy relationship. I hate to do this right here in front of everybody, but Hebrews chapter 2. So we get through Hebrews chapter 1, and there is not one command in all of Hebrews chapter 1. We've preached through it now, line by line, verse by verse, and there is not one command. There's not one, you should do this, you should not do this, you should start doing this, you should try to do this. There's not one. There's simply that God has spoken to us in Jesus, and that Jesus is greater than all that is. He is enough. And so what we've read so far, what we've said so far, what the sacred literature of ours has said is that Jesus has made a way for us to walk in wholeness. Jesus has made a way for the forgiveness of sins and for you and I to be made whole. And that's what we've said so far. That's all chapter one says. Now let's look at chapter two. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, I think that the writer of Hebrews is a preacher or a teacher. And I think that because he's got this angst in how he's trying to communicate here. So right now he's going, okay, pay attention to this. Don't miss this. Hey, listen carefully to this. In chapter 3, he's going to say, consider this. Don't miss what I'm saying. In Hebrews chapter 12, he's going to say, fix your eyes on Jesus. There's this angst to get across a point, and he's not sure if his hearers, if his readers are following him. And I tell seminary guys all the time that what we do and what flight attendants do aren't really that far away from each other. Like we're trying to give you safety and how to make it out alive, and no one cares, all right? I mean, you're like, you need to buckle up, here's the exit rows, and no one cares. I mean, everybody's got their iPod on, they are reading their magazine, they are talking. I mean, honestly, hey, how many, nobody pays attention to the stewardess and the videotape they play for you now. No, nobody listens to them, and she's just trying to get you out alive. That's all she's trying to do. She's trying to get you out of the plane alive. And in a lot of ways, that's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to get you out of here alive. I'm trying to get you out unhurt, unscathed. I'm trying to get you out of here alive. And anyone who's ever tried to teach Jesus and his way knows that a great deal of the crowd is simply listening to their iPods. Yeah. So he's going to say, pay attention here. Don't miss this. So the writer of Hebrews, he's got some angst about what he's about to say here. He's got some angst about what he's trying to get across. He's going, listen, pay attention to this Jesus. Pay attention to the salvation you've been offered. Don't skip over it. Don't take it lightly. Don't neglect it. Pay attention to Jesus and his salvation. Well, why? Why should we pay attention to Jesus and his salvation? Why so much weight on Jesus and his salvation? Well, I don't have to make anything up here. The text is going to just take us there. So there's several things. So look back in the text with me. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, now listen to this next part, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just penalty. Now, there's something big happening here that doesn't look like it's big on the surface. What just happened here is this writer, who is very Hebrew, all right, is writing this little line to point back to the law. So he's saying, okay, listen, if you break the law, then you are punished. Every breaking of the law carries with it a justice, a punishment. So he's referencing the law. So why is he saying here, okay, pay attention to Jesus because of the law? Well, let's turn back and check it out. Keep your fingers here because we're coming right back, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me show you the giving of the law. There's two things in particular about the law that I want you to see. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll go 1 through 9. Why pay attention to Jesus? Why pay attention to this salvation that our sins can be removed, both past, present, and future, that wholeness can be had, that healing can be had? Why pay attention to it? Why pay attention to it? 6, starting in verse 1. Now, this is the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you might do them in the lands where you are going over to possess, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Okay, now, why pay attention to Jesus? Why give Jesus any kind of attention at all? Why pay attention to his salvation? Why do that? Well, he's going to reference in Hebrews 2 the law. Now, at the giving of the law, here's the two things I want you to see. Notice that the giving of the law is there so that God might lead us to life. He says here, hey, listen, if you'll do these things, if you'll do these things, if you'll walk my ways, I'm going to bless you. If you follow me, if you do the things I tell you to do, if you live the way I'm commanding you to live, I'm going to bless you. And if you don't, it's going to go bad for you. It's going to go bad for you. Now, listen, the entire Old Testament, all of this back here, is just the testimony that if you follow Jesus, you are blessed. If you follow the way of Jesus, you are blessed. And if you don't, things go bad for you. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity. Don't mishear me today. Don't go, okay, if I follow Jesus, then I'm going to be wealthy and I'll never struggle and I'll never... That's absurd. The best way I've ever heard this thing kind of play out actually comes... I saw a pastor do it in San Diego. He basically had all this cooking stuff up on the stage and he was like, hey, who wants flour? Anybody want any flour? Anybody hungry? Do you want to eat some flour? Well, the answer to that is no, always. All right. And then he cracked open some raw eggs and he's like, anybody want any raw eggs? Anybody want any raw eggs? Well, again, unless you're a freak show musclehead who thinks that swallowing eggs works, then the answer is probably no, right? And then how about yeast? Anybody want any yeast? How about vanilla extract? Anybody want any vanilla extract? Well, no. It just kept going. And then finally he pulls out of this Easy Bake Oven or something on stage, cake. Who wants cake? I want cake. I want some cake. Cake that has flour, that has yeast, that has vanilla extract, that has... eggs. Yeah, I'm not promising you, and neither is scripture, that you won't have to eat some flour. I'm just telling you that in the end we get cake. So why pay attention to Jesus? Because he is not your enemy. Because he says, hey, I want to bless you. Follow me because I want to bless you. All right, let's keep looking. Hebrews. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through who? The Lord. Now this is a pretty huge piece here, because here's what it just said, that your salvation, you being forgiven of your sins, you being made whole, you healing was God's idea. Now, that's a pretty huge piece right there, specifically because in our culture, God, Jesus, Christianity sits apart from culture and is our enemy. Doesn't want us smiling, doesn't want us to have real life, doesn't want a lot of joy in us. He's cranky and mean. But according to Scripture, salvation, healing, wholeness, that's God's idea. It was Jesus who knew all your sin, past, present, and future, who came to you and said, I offer you salvation. I offer the forgiveness of your sins. I offer wholeness. I offer healing. This thing, it's Jesus' idea. Why pay attention? Because the offer doesn't come from mere man. The offer doesn't come from some prophet or apostle. The offer comes from God himself. God himself says, come be healed. Come be made whole. Come be forgiven. Come be right before me. And it says that Jesus spoke it first, and then he spoke it to this great cloud of witnesses. And he's speaking just to the fact that there were all these people who saw and watched the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who followed him up until their death, and not one of them ever recanted. Which means you can find outside of Scripture secular historical documents that talk about the death of some of the apostles, and none of them recant. And I think it's pretty significant, because most of them die pretty badly, like boiled alive badly. And not one of them goes, we were kidding. Not one of them. Now come on, even if you've got no religious background, you got to do something with Jesus, man. I mean, you got to. He's the most popular man that ever walked the face of the earth. There's been more written about him than any man that's ever lived. There have been more philosophies and systems of government spun off. There have been, he's been on the cover of more magazines than any man in the history of the world. And then there's even the weird stuff, like people stubbing their toes and screaming out his name. That's a weird deal, man. I mean, it really is. Nobody's like, oh, Benjamin Franklin. I hate you. I mean, no, why? Why is Jesus' name so automatically, why does it fire out of him? I mean, anybody ever thought about that? It's a weird deal, man. It is. It's strange. I don't. Why do we do that? Have you ever thought about how strange, how odd that is? You got to do something with him. And listen, can we just be straight up with each other? Save the tired, he was a good man thing. You're going to have to do better than that. I mean, just as a thinker, please don't. That's a tired, lame, really tired. He's a good man and he's a good philosopher. Now, I don't believe anything that he said, because he calls himself the Son of God and says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will know God except through him. But, I mean, I don't believe anything he said, but he's a good man, a good teacher, a good philosopher. No, he's got to be loony. He's got to be an absolute loon, or you got to believe he's the Son of God. I don't know what your other option is. But you can't say he's a good man and a good teacher and then say that you don't believe anything that he said or taught. It's a weird deal there, man. You got to do something with Jesus, because there were all these men and women who saw what happened and they gave their lives for it, when all they had to do was go, no, we made it up. No, it was a... So why pay attention to this gospel? Well, because God painted on the canvas of creation that if you follow him, he'll bless you with the nation of Israel. Why follow him? Because the invitation for salvation and healing comes from God. Why follow him? Because there's all this history, all these eyewitnesses that gave witness to the fact that he occurred. And then look at this last line, and we'll chat some. Look at verse 4. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Last week, I was at First Baptist Church Woodway in Waco, Texas, and for an old school revival, like they called it a revival. And I don't really know how to be anything but me. I mean, I just went as me. It was a tough deal on me, man. I mean, it was old school, like Gaither Song specials, and it was a tough deal, man. A lot of mics out here and none, and it was a tough deal on me. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that. I'm just saying philosophically, for me, I'm just at a different. It's just a different place. It's a different style, man. I just don't. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to worship in that venue, and that's cool, because I know some of you are like, it's hard for me to worship with all the lights out. So I get it. All right, I get it. I'm not saying one's better or one's worse, but I found myself in this room on the first couple of nights going, what am I doing here, man? What am I doing here? I mean, we're just, the majority of that room of 1,500 was well into their late 50s, 60s, and 70s, and I felt like it was hard to connect. And so on Tuesday night, I went to the senior adult banquet, and why is that funny? I went, and this guy named Bill Lane, who is a former coach of Baylor in the Grant Taft year, in the glory years of Baylor, both of them, they, what, kidding, sick 'em, Bears, he comes up to me, he's probably mid-70s, and he says, hey man, I need to apologize to you. And I was like, you need to apologize to me? And he's like, yeah, I need to apologize to you. like, I got here on Sunday and I saw you up front with your shirt all out, hair all messed up, loud, saying jacked up and all right. And I judged you. I judged you wrongly. And I judged you by appearance and by youth. And I'm just here to say I'm sorry. And I was like, dang it, dude. Me too. Me too. Hug. It's horrible. Convicting. Horrible. And you know, I tell you guys all the time, I mean, I say this all the time, that the line between all that we want to be and all that we hate is thinner and smaller and closer than anyone ever wants to talk about, right? I mean, you know, like I'm the first one to go, oh, so you'll judge us because of how we dress, or you'll judge us because of the style we prefer. But then I was the first one doing it on Sunday. So I'd ask this question. I mean, the whole week I was there, I'd been asking this question. What am I doing here? What do we have in common? What? Like, for me, it's all about the mission, man. Always. I mean, it's just where my mind always is, where my heart always is. It's let's go share the love of Christ. Let's go be the love of Christ. Let's go. It's just always about the mission. And so it was, so I'm like, what do we have in common? What do we have in common? And just after that, I was sitting there and they were singing that, the special that night was, I bowed my knees and cried holy. I clapped my hands and cried holy, something like that. And, you know, I'm just still thinking through, what am I doing here? What do we have in common? What do we have in common, Lord? And I just kind of felt the Lord finally go, me. You got me in common, dummy. And that was a pretty huge moment for me. Pretty huge moment for me. Like the most compelling thing about Jesus is there seems to be no fingerprint for who follows him. Like, it doesn't matter the language, and it doesn't matter the socioeconomic status. Doesn't matter if you're talented or untalented, pretty or ugly, or it just seems across all lines there are people who love him deeply. And that's compelling to me. Like, if it was just rich white folk, that's one thing. If it was just uneducated people, that's one thing. But it's not. It's across every line you can think of. I mean, honestly, what do we have in common? You looking around tonight? I mean, what do we have in common? Some of us got saved when we were 6, some when we were 40. Some of us have lived life very hard. It has kicked the trash out of us. And some of us, man, besides a scrape on the knee or two, it's been pretty clean sailing. Some of us grew up in homes that taught us the goodness of Jesus. A lot of us didn't. And yet here we are tonight, the transforming power of Jesus, the miraculous wonder of Jesus, continuing to shape and mold and save. It's compelling. Why pay attention to Jesus? Because God wanted you to know that if you followed him, he'd bless you. So he painted a portrait with Israel. Because God is the one who has invited you into this salvation. He is not your enemy. And he continues to this day to transform and change and save. There's this question here, and we're not going to go long tonight. I really am almost done. There's this question here that the author just puts, and then he just lets it linger, man. He doesn't do anything with it. And it's a really hard question, but look at it with me. Look in verse 2 again. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. Look at verse 3. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Okay, let's be straight with each other. All right? You and I are guilty. Bottom line. All right? You're guilty. I'm guilty. All of us have sinned. All of us have blown it. And if you don't like to, if you're like, I don't know, I don't think I'm that bad. Well, let's just lay your life against like basic kindergarten Sunday school. All right. Let's pull off 10 commandments, lay them down, grab your life and lay them on top of them. All right. Have you lied? Yes. If you said no right now, that's at least your second lie. All right. So you are a liar, right? You are a liar. No, I'm not a liar. Have you lied? Do you lie? Yes. Have you put things before God? Have you found other things more valuable than God? You absolutely have. Have you coveted? You absolutely have. Have you murdered? Everybody's like, whew, but one guy in the back, you know, like, so what? You know, you're like, you're cool. No, you can say, okay, I haven't murdered, but Jesus is going to change the rules and he's going to go back to heart versus heart over action. Jesus is going to change the rules and go, if you don't do an action, but your heart's there, then you're not any better off. Jesus is going to say, you've seen that it's written, do not murder. I say, if you have hate in your heart, you've committed the sin. So are you a murderer? Yeah. Uh-oh. You and I, guilty. Ain't no way around it. And listen, you can buy into the, let me be real straight here. Because what a lot of people want to do is go, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some good things, and I'm going to do good things also, because I know I've done some bad things, so I'm going to do some good things. And if the good outweigh the bad, then everything will work out for me. But okay, listen, you've got no scripture that supports that. You've got no sacred literature to get into that. The only thing that's telling you that will work is the same sinful mind that's made you a liar and a thief and a killer. Might want to not trust him anymore. I mean, it's just between me and you. Might want to not trust the lying murderer anymore, and maybe trust some other outside truth that might be able to help. So here's the question he asks. It's a heavy question. It's not a threat. It's a question. Since we're guilty, what are we going to do if we neglect this offer of forgiveness, this offer of wholeness, this offer of healing? What are you going to do? What other venue are you going to go? What other route are you going to take? I mean, this is the offer from the one who is behind all things. He is behind all things. All things were created by him, for him. He is greater than all that is. This is the offer from him. Let me bless you. Let me heal you. Let me bring wholeness to you. Let me wipe away your sin. This is the offer that goes out. Now, what are you going to do if you say no to that? And why would you say no to that? Well, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix yourself? How are you going to fill that half-empty tank called your soul? What are you going to do? What step are you going to take? What do you do if you neglect this great offer from Christ? What are you going to do? I mean, come on now. It's not like he's saying, don't neglect your lawn. Don't neglect your ramen noodle soup tonight. It's good for you. Don't neglect your trip to the desert. That's not what he's saying. It'd be more like him saying, hey, don't neglect your filet. Don't neglect your baby's smile. Like my son, he's 11 weeks old, and he'll smile now if you poke his nose and make a weird noise. So we're jacking his nose all the time now because he'll smile and he'll giggle a little bit. And man, I don't want to neglect that. I want to do that as often as I can. He's not like a nosebleed now. I mean, we want to poke that thing as much as we can to get him to smile because it's this really beautiful moment. Don't neglect that. He's saying, okay, don't neglect the filet. Don't neglect your sons, your daughter's smiles. Don't neglect your sunrise. Don't neglect your sunset. Don't neglect your trip to the mountains, your trip to the ocean. He's saying, don't neglect what is beautiful and right and blessed. Don't neglect these things. Don't neglect being loved by God. Why would you neglect that? Don't neglect being loved by God. Don't neglect having sins wiped clean. Don't neglect having the wrath of God removed from your life and replaced with the reconciling smile of Jesus himself. Why would you neglect that? Why would you neglect it? And that's the angst that's in the writer of Hebrews, because these people are falling away. And he's like, what are you doing? Where else are you going to go? What other option do you have? Where are you going to go to get salvation like this? The free gift of salvation that covers not only your present reality, but your future screw-ups. Where are you going to get a better deal than this? Where are you going to get a better opportunity from the God of the universe, who's already said, I give you the law to bless you, who invited you with his own mouth? The God who knows you, knows your shortcomings, knows your failures, says, I want to bless you. Me? Yeah, you. I want to bless you. Come on, follow me. Come on, follow me. Will I have to eat flour? Yeah, probably, but there's cake at the end. Come on. Come on. It's why. Why would you neglect it? What's gotten screwed up there, man? Do you think that he hates you? Do you think that you're not good enough? What is it? Why are you neglecting such a great salvation? And I'm wondering how many of you, your life just parallels Israel. I wonder how many of your lives where you've had this moment where you're so close and so beautifully aligned with the inner reality of Jesus, and things were moving and stirring, and somewhere along the way you walked away from that. Why are you neglecting that? Why would you walk away from that? For what? For what? Why'd you walk away from that? Don't neglect it, is what the author of Hebrews is saying. Don't neglect this. It's too big. It's too beautiful. It's too great of a salvation. Don't neglect it. And I'm wondering how many of you in here, man, you've never tried it. Maybe you've been coming for a year or so, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, and you're really intrigued by what we say here and the things we do here. And maybe when I talk about Jesus, something stirs in you, you know, and you're like, man, I want that. I know, because I sat out there and thought that. I thought that myself at one time. You know, I sat out there and heard some guy yell just like I am tonight, and I was like, man, I need that. I want that. I don't want to be like these freaks, but I want that. I want to be that. I want to know that. And maybe tonight that's you. So I don't know what we've got here tonight. You know, maybe you've neglected it. Maybe you know him, but you've just neglected it, man. Maybe he's like some friend you had a fallout with, and you're not giving him honor, and you're not pursuing anymore, and you're neglecting the great salvation that was extended to you. The question is, what are you doing, man? What in the world are you doing? He's saying, hey, follow me so I can bless you. And now you're floundering and you don't even, come on. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray some tonight. So we're not just going to rush out of here to Chili's and our movie. We're going to just take 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to pray some. And here's what I want to say. Maybe you need to repent, man. My brothers and sisters, my family in here. Maybe you need to repent, man. Maybe you've been neglecting this great salvation. Maybe you've been taking advantage of it. Maybe you have, I think the book of Romans says it like this, you have taken lightly the grace and mercy of Christ. Or maybe if you're in here tonight and you're saying, I want that, Matt. I have no clue what to do. I'm living with this person. I'm doing this on the weekends. I've got all these issues. I want that, but man, I just think I'm too broken. It just so happens, this is the greatest part of the deal, God prefers broken, jacked up people. It's just who he seems like. So it's great news there on that front. And if you want to know where you begin, listen, you don't begin by changing this, 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 and this, and this. That's not the gospel. The gospel tonight is you begin by saying, hey, I need some help, Jesus. Jesus, will you help me? I've made a mess of my life. I've sinned. Help me. And then we can start there. So I'm going to give us just a couple of minutes to maybe think and pray and maybe journal. I don't know. I don't know what you need to do tonight. I don't know what you need to do tonight. But listen, if you're here tonight and you say that little prayer, you just go, okay, I made a mess of my life. I need some help here, Jesus. I need some help. I need you to forgive me. I need some help. Will you tell the friend who invited you here on the way home tonight, your coworker, your classmate, however you got here, would you just go, hey, man, I prayed a little prayer in there tonight. What do I do now? You got this great offer, man, or it's called the good news. I pray that it would be alive in you tonight. Okay, so I join my boy in Hebrews now and go, oh, please pay attention. Please pay attention. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's pray a little bit. So maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to ask Jesus for help. Maybe we need to ask for forgiveness for neglecting such a great salvation. Maybe we've been abusing missional living, using the banner of missional living to live our own way. And Father, for my brothers and sisters, I thank you tonight. And I feel the angst tonight just for wanting so much for them and knowing the sin and the secrets that must be in this room tonight and the pride. And I thank you that you love us and that you extend to us this chance for salvation, for healing, for wholeness, for right standing. I pray we not neglect tonight. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would give them a purity of spirit and a desire to know you and walk with you deeply, and that we might return to those things that we did at first. And I pray for those in here tonight who are just kind of flirting with you and just kind of checking you out. And I pray that you'd bring clarity to them tonight and to your invitation to them, invitation into such a great and beautiful salvation. I thank you for all that you are and all that you are in us. Help us surrender to you and help us to believe in the deep parts of our soul that you really long to bless us and to get us to the table where we can eat some cake. And it's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen. Will you stand? We're going to sing I Surrender All and we'll be dismissed.